Good morning once again. Hallelujah. This morning I just want to share Psalm 121 with us. It's a short psalm, and I believe that God has, it's only 8 verses, but I believe God has one or two things to speak to us today, and just trust God that he will minister his grace to you.
Amen.
Amen. So it begins with, it's a psalm that you know very well. But before I start, what God has shown this morning is that he's always working in sync. You know, with the song that we sang about God's love, it's something I have here. In fact, it's one of the first paragraph that I wanted to share. I mean, because most of us we've attended weddings, and we all remember the popular Bible passage that is read at weddings, isn't it? It's 1 Corinthians 13, about love, isn't it? About what love is. It's kind, love is patient, love is long-suffering, So ladies, when a man says that he loves you from the bottom of their heart, be sure that it's not the love in 1 Corinthians he's talking about. It's another love. So, in 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, in the Amplified or another version which I have, says, "Dear children, it means nothing to say you love others. It is only your action that shows whether you truly love them or not." So I say this to reinforce the point that God's caring nature is the evidence of his love for us. His caring nature is the evidence of his love for us. So back to Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. It says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." Some versions have, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills or to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Looking up to the mountains or to the hills, what does that mean? I believe it's similar to looking to the physical. Mountains is like a protection in a way, isn't it? Some of us in this day and age, we look up to our friends for help. That's similar to looking up to the mountains. We look up to our experience, the way we've always done things, for help. Some of us, or others still, they look to their wealth for help. They look to their qualifications. They look to their careers. They look to their connections. They look to Google or social media for help. I'm not saying all those things are bad, but they have limitations. They have limitations. I remember a family friend. He's a wealthy, very wealthy man. But he had one problem. He was always sick, He was always sick. In fact, when my dad used to go to him to just cheer him up, he's always in tears because he says that, "I wish God takes away everything that I have and just give me good health." And, he says, look at you, you have good health. But for me, it's always one thing or the other. So in fact, my dad had to back off from going there because it's always tears and complaining. So that shows that the limitation of how far wealth can go, So I want this morning to tell you that the true help, that God is our true help and helper. You see? Now, I believe, is it Timmy or Tammy talked about God sending another helper this morning. He read that in the passage we read in John chapter 14, I think it is. So God is our helper, is our help. God wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to really look up to him, to be dependent. You know something is that it takes humility, isn't it? It takes humility for us to ask for help or to be dependent on anything. I mean, many of us, we've lived life, you know, we've lived our lives like that Frank Sinatra song. You know, I'm sure people are looking at me. Remember that song? You know, I did it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that song? Don't ask me to sing it, please, yeah? But that's how some of us have lived our lives, you know. We always do things our way. But God, I believe, is saying to us this morning that I am available. I am your help. I want to help you. So, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. This is what God wants, the attitude that God wants us to have. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think it goes on, is that... There's another verse after that, but it says, you know, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I also believe what Christ was saying there is that unless you, you accept, live like little children, unless you be like little children, you will never enjoy the kingdom of heaven. That's also what I believe God is saying there. You know, it says that he who is like a little child is the greatest. I think the passage that I wanted to ask, that follows that should be, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So to enjoy the kingdom of heaven, we sometimes have to be like little children to enjoy the benefits. So this morning, God's help is available. It's available. And we have to be like little children, because little children, they trust. They trust their parents for breakfast or whatever it is, or their needs. So when I looked in the dictionary for the meaning of help, it says that help is defined as to make it easier or possible for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. So I'll read that again. Help is defined as to make it easier or possible for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. So God has made his resources available. He's also made his services available for us. Because he loves us so much, he wants to help us. You know, in Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, may everyone who knows your mercy keep putting their trust in you, for they can count on you for help, no matter what. Oh Lord, you will never neglect those who come to you. You see? Once you experience or taste the goodness of God, you keep putting your trust in him, because when he helps, he makes it so easy. So remember, help is something to make something easier or possible. So God's help is so easy. Sometimes you may have tried your way, you may have consulted the experts, the intellectuals, but when God helps you, in fact, it makes you look stupid, because you think the things I've huffed and puffed and schemed and, you know, used my intellect, gone to the expert. Look at how simple it's just been resolved. You know, that's God's help. So once you taste that, you will keep putting your mercy and trust in him. So also, God, you know, God is willing to help. He's willing to help. From this passage, it says that you will never, no, never neglect those who come to you. You see, God doesn't say, you have come again. I thought I helped you last week. That's not what God is about. You know, human beings can do that to you. You know, in fact, they want you to keep you coming, especially if you pay them. They want you to come regularly so that they can increase their revenue. So God doesn't say, you have come again. You know, he doesn't say, oh no, it's him again. You know, let's avoid him. So in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So it says, God, this is God here, he's saying, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. So this is, God is putting us at ease here. You know, he's putting people at ease. Those who are seeking help from him, saying, you know, it's like my local parlance. Put your heart at rest, you know. We call it, it says on the ground, but, you know, put your mind at rest or just be calm. Don't worry. No stress, that sort of thing. That's what God is saying here. You know, he wants to help us. And he's saying that you don't worry, don't be anxious, just come to me. You know, so that shows willingness on God's part. It shows the ability also. We know that God is able, but some of us know that God is able, but not many of us know that God is willing. You know, that's one thing I want to stress this morning, that God is willing to help us, you know, irrespective of whether we are holy or we've obeyed him or we've disobeyed him, he's always willing to help us. You see, one thing with God is that he is good. You know, it's not, you can't compare him to the best person in this world. You know, God is different. So he is good. And, you know, he is willing to help us. He is able to help us. And he also asks everyone that, don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Keep calm. Come to me for help. You know, I am willing. Amen. Amen. So we move on from that psalm. We're still continuing that psalm. So remember we said God is our helper. Then verse 3 to 4. Verse 3 to 4. It says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Hallelujah. Amen. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Here, I believe the psalm is saying that there's nothing that happens to you that takes God by surprise. You see, God is always active on your case. You may not know it, but God is active on your case. So, as far as everything that happens to you or everything that concerns you, in God's eyes, everything is under control. Amen. Under control. There should be no anxiety or shaking, if I can say that. But, you know, we're not always aware of that. I can liken it to, I'm sure you know modern cars these days. Some of them have the ability to drive themselves, you know. Yes. So just imagine you sitting in the passenger seat of a Tesla, for example, and the car is driving itself. And says, let's say you're coming from home to church. Let's give an easy example. And maybe the car through the sat nav. I'm sure this technology will come soon anyway. You know, you're going to have self-drive cars, whether you like it or not. Let's say the sat nav or the cars detected a roadblock, you know, in your usual road and decided to take another turning. I'm sure many of us in this place, we will grab the steering wheel. Before we know it, it's a reaction, isn't it? we will grab the steering wheel and say, no, no, this is the wrong way, without even thinking. That's how many of us struggle with the steering of how God is trying to steer us. You know, he's trying to steer us in a good distance or a good way, you know, because we don't know what it is or what lies ahead. We're always trying to grab the steering wheel to do a correction, manual correction. So that's how I can explain it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 14, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. This is what God speaking to the children of Israel. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. That's verse 4. And then from verse 10, it says, and when Pharaoh drew near, so this was Pharaoh deciding to pursue the children of Israel. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Just imagine every one of us in this setting. God first of all told Moses to lead the children of Israel to camp by the sea, isn't it? Well, that's not bad. You know, everybody will think, you know, we will have a fresh breeze. We might even catch some fish and so on. You know, so that's not bad. And then what happened next? In fact, God told Moses that the children, Pharaoh will think that these people are confused. That, you know, he told Moses about it as well. I'm sure Moses was thinking, what's going on? So anyway, in verse 10, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? You see, one thing that now that we're studying these things, we're trying to see how God is in control of whatever happens to us, whatever situation we face. We may think that, you know, the last thing is God is even interested in our situation. But even here, God was in control. Then if we keep going, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it will have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. And I'm sure every one of us, if we were there, we'll be saying exactly this thing. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see, that's a big one. That's a big one. But imagine us in that situation. God was actually in control of that situation. That's why he asked specifically for them to camp by the sea. If God had taken them through the desert, you know that Pharaoh would have destroyed them because there would be nothing stopping him. God knew how to handle that situation. So this, you know, the course of our lives, I'm telling you this morning that it has been mapped out by God. And he knows the end from the beginning. And that's why we come to church to cooperate with him, to partner with him, so that everything will go well at the end, so that when we look back, we can say God has truly been good. He doesn't want us to huff and puff, stress and, you know, lose our hair, you know, or get our hair gray unnecessarily. You know, he wants us to partner with him. So this morning, God is not only our helper, he's the person who knows the way. He's the person who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always active. He knows exactly what you don't even know about. He knows the future. He knows what the end is like. You know, it's actually giving you a hint of what the end of a righteous man is like or is going to be. And he's telling you to relax. So Moses was saying that, you know, hold your peace. You don't need to stress. So this morning, as children of God, I believe that God is telling us that whatever is happening to us, it hasn't taken God by surprise. God is active on your case. Just keep trusting in him. Keep asking for his help. You know, he is listening. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, just keep asking for him. Keep thanking him. He will hear you. He will hear you. Then in verse 5 of Psalm 121. So it says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And the version I have, it says, the Lord is your keeper, in the version on Psalm verse 5. So keeper in Hebrew means preserves. You know, we know that we can preserve fruits and so on. But preserve means to keep safe from injury, from harm or destruction, to protect, to keep alive, to keep intact or free from decay, to maintain, to keep from decomposition. I read that again. To keep or preserve means to keep safe from injury, from harm, from destruction, to protect, to keep alive, to keep intact or free from decay, to maintain, keep from decomposition. Over the last few years, you know, we all know we had the pandemic, hasn't it? But every one of us here has benefited from God's preservation. You know, everyone, whether you know it or not. See, I've had COVID before the vaccine was invented, you know, and I've had COVID even three times this year. But I can testify that God has preserved me, you know. So it's only not only from COVID, but even the things that you do not see as well. God preserves. He keeps us from it. In verse 6, you know, it says the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. That talks about the 24-hour protection of God. You know, so the sun is the day and night. So day and night. So round the clock, God is also protecting us. Because he's constantly, you know, he's mindful of us. You know, he says also in that passage that your son read that his presence is in us. He has come to live in us, you know. So God is mindful of us all the time. You know, his presence is there. Now, I'm not saying that we are mindful of God all the time. That's another story. But God is mindful of us. You know, he cares about us. His presence is with us all the time. In 1 Peter, because of time, I'll try to be quick. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, because God is so concerned about you, he wants you to lay all your problems, troubles, and anxiety on him. You see, that's cast all your cares and burdens onto him. He says, because God is so concerned, the way his phrase is, he's so concerned, or he loves us so much, he wants you to lay. That's why I said, when you go to God for help, don't trying to remember that I thought I went yesterday. This might be coming too much, you know. Just keep going, you know. God has given you a free invitation. All of your troubles, all of your anxiety, all of your issues, just go to God for help. You know, in fact, he loves it. He wants to help. He's willing. Then in verse 7 to 8, it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And then in verse 8, it says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Hallelujah. So, God shall preserve us from all evil, you know. This does not mean that we will not have to face challenges or adversity, you know. But one thing is clear, that we will always come out triumph at the end. Amen. That's what matters most. It's not, you know, sometimes it's good to go through a process. And, you know, going through a process sometimes is building you to overcome future issues or challenges of life as well. You know, even children, they have to go through the process of education, isn't it? Through primary school, secondary, and university. After university, they stop. But you know what I mean? It's then the workplace, isn't it? Then that's another challenge as well. So process sometimes is good, you know. It doesn't want to shield us from all the elements, because we're in a fallen world. God wants to take us through the process. So God says that he will protect us from evil, so not only in the here and now, but also in the world to come. So this thing that God has committed to us is that he is our protector, he's our keeper. He wants to preserve us, you know, because we are going to be preserved for all eternity. And that is an excitement that he will reveal to us when we see him face to face, you know. So to summarize, I want to reassure everyone in this place that God is our helper, you know. Not a reluctant helper, but a willing helper, always willing to help us. And he's invited us to cast all our cares, all our burdens onto him. See, nothing that happens to you take God by surprise, you know. And God says that he will preserve you always, you know. So I thank God that he will touch and use this teaching to encourage us, no matter the situation that we're facing. Lord, we thank you because we know that your hand is upon us. Your good hand is upon us, Lord. That in all things, Lord, we will come out victorious. That your name will be glorified in our lives. And Father, help us to put our trust in you. Help us not to fret. Help us not to be worried or troubled. Help us not to be anxious or stressed. But Lord, to put our trust in you and our hope as well. Thank you, Lord, because those who trust in you, their faces are always radiant. Amen. And so, Father, we give you praise this morning. That your people, O Lord, that the radiance of your presence will reflect in their faces, Lord. Amen. Not only in their faces, but in their hearts. That they will take, O Lord, this radiance into their week and be winners for your kingdom. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.